Good morning. How are we today? Well, welcome to the Vines Uniting Church this morning. Whether you're here in person or whether you're watching us via YouTube, I pray that this service will be a blessing to you. My call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Please stand as we sing our first song.
Thank you.
pray. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as in the beginning, so now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Hi, good morning, everybody. How are you? It's always nice to have bits of papers flying around in the morning. So, the notice of today, let me see where I put my trusty piece of paper. Always check your pocket, people. That helps. So, thank you.
Notices. So, directory. We have a directory with us now that's been reprinted after the last couple of years, so that's good. Particularly wanted to say a special thank you to Adrian for getting up and leading us in worship today and the work they've done this week. Particularly also want to remind you that our kitchen roster is up for morning tea, so coffee, tea and other biscuits and that sort of stuff. That's good news, isn't it? Good. So if you want to get in that, please do that. We're also looking to welcome Mark Schultz at some stage this morning, so that'll be really exciting as well. So, look, are there any other notices I should be mentioning that I haven't? Yes?
Thank Elaine for all the work she put into the directory.
So, good work, and lots of hours went into just figuring out and adjusting the phone numbers. Hey, look, so the children, we're going to have a children's talk today. And so if you guys want to come down the front, that'll be sensational. Oh, you have a new friend. So come over here. What's your new friend?
Wolfie.
That's a very... Let's hold him up so everybody can see. Yeah, let me hold up Wolfie.
Minecraft wolf.
It's a what?
It's a Minecraft wolf.
For all of you people who are wondering what Minecraft is, very interesting. When you get some free time, type in Minecraft and see what comes up. Hey, look, you know, sometimes in life we get so used to seeing things, don't we? Like, just look around this building. Like, we've seen it lots of times, haven't we? You know, lots of Jesus and in the Old Testament, the Bible talked about how people get so used to seeing things. So they get so used to God that they actually miss things. So I want you to look at these two beautiful pictures up the front here that Varel has painted for us. Now, how long have they been there for? Now, put your hands up if you think they've been there for 10 years. No. 5 years? 1 year? 6 months? Maybe 6 months. All right, okay. So they look very beautiful, don't they? And how many times do you actually see that and think, wow, that's beautiful? Or you just, after a while, just see it? We're going to do some investigation today because there's more to that painting than meets the eye. Bum, bum, bum. You do? All right, let's go and have a look.
Just excuse us while we go through our journey. Okay, come up here, people. Let's go.
We're going to be looking. So what do we see up here? What have we? Come on, get up here. Don't be bashful and shy. So we've got a nice Holy Spirit dove. What else do we notice? What do we see?
I see hearts and water.
Hearts and water. So it's the Holy Spirit water, maybe like as in baptism. And the hearts are coming down. So what the heart? What could the hearts be?
Love.
Love from who?
God.
From God down to us? Now, I want you to look, what else do you see on here? There's some beautiful flowers.
A Bible.
There's a Bible, yeah.
Candles.
Candle, yeah.
And that's going to leave.
And that's a It's a desert pea, yeah. So what else do you see when you look in close? What else do you see? And you can do this afterwards, people. After the service, come on, have a look.
I see the name.
A what?
The name of the artist.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's very good. Yes, okay, well, good spotting. What about this? What is this?
Spider.
Well, what else do you see?
Ladybug.
Ladybugs. Now, if we stood back there, we couldn't see that, could we? What about the other one? Let's see the other one. There's other stuff on there. What else is there? Maybe we should count how many spiders there are.
No.
There's like
10. Oh, one, praying two. Hands. There's praying hands. So what I'm trying to say is that...
Oh, grapes.
And there's grapes. Well, the vines, church, got grapes, of course. And it's a communion cup, yes? And a bias. Like,
so,
we're finding too many things now. All right, let's just stop for a minute. So what I'm trying to say to you guys is that it's very easy sometimes. You just see stuff and you get so used to seeing stuff that you miss the detail. You miss the important things like the little bird, all the things we've listed.
And what's his name?
And Varel's name, yes. We've seen it on both sides. So today we're going to be doing some thinking about why we as a church exist. And part of that reflecting is on seeing the big picture, but also seeing the small, important things. So, hope you're with me, people. All right, let's say a prayer. Good job for you, people. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you help us see the big things, but you ask us to really focus on the important small details sometimes. And just how we see these little pictures, we remember that your love works in and through everything. The big stuff and the small stuff. All right. Peace be with you.
Amen.
And also with you. All right. Jump down, have a seat. And we're going to continue our time together. And you guys have got some special stuff out in Sunday school, which is really good. I keep passing my order of service. That's why I have my folder. Normally I have my folder, which is really good. So Mignon is going to come and read to us our reading from Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 18, titled, Unity in the Body of Christ. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm going to have to change things around slightly, and I just have to set something up here. My keyboard turned itself off, so I've just got to reset it. 2020, as you will agree, was a strange year. And during it, the Lord encouraged me to write some poetry. Something I never thought was possible, because I'm not that kind of a person. And then with the use of my keyboard, he actually inspired me that poetry, to put music to it. And it really worked out really strange, because I wasn't sure what was going on or how it was all going to come together. So, move forward about 6 months. I'd recorded, you heard one of my songs that I did back in September, and it was a really slow, mellow, testimonial type song. So, move forward about 6 months, and I felt moved to write an up-tempo song. So, I sat down at my keyboard, and the word happy came into my mind. So, I scrolled through the beats on my keyboard, and this is the happy 8-beat. So then I started to think, well, a beat's nothing. I've got to put some chords to it. So then I added some chords and came up with this. So I had that. And then I thought, I've got to put some words to it. So the first thing that popped into my head was an artist by the name of Chris Tomlin. He has a song, which is my favourite song, called I Will Rise. Now in it, one of the lines says, a day is drawing near. And if you know that song at all, it talks of a day when Jesus will come back again. And your faith then will become sight, a bit like the old hymn. So I'm going to do this as an item now. If you like it, speak to me after, and we'll see about incorporating it in our church services at later times. So let's see how we go with what I call a day is drawing near.
Day is drawing near when Christ will come again. longer live in fear. Christ the King and Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. The day will come to be with him, and he will be with him. Oh, now the bride of Christ is what we are, his love to every life. A time of joy for all mankind, when we take away our strife. Christ the King and Lord of Lords, Savior of the world. The day will come to take us home, and we will be with him.
Thanks, Andy. Hey, look, it's really hard doing anything up front, particularly when it's some of your own stuff, and you know you miss a chord, and you think, oh, man, but I thank you for your courage to come and share part of this, because today we're really trying to step out of our comfort zones, and you've just done a beautiful model and example of what we need to do as a church, is to step out of what we know of our comfort zones, and so thank you. Good on you, man. One more round of applause. Thank you. So the leaders team have been working with Mark Schultz from the Synod office in strategic planning, and part of today was really an opportunity for us to listen to Mark as a community, and he's been exploring with us the values and passions that particularly the leaders team, and he really wanted to earth it amongst us. And so I'm really going to get you to put your hands together as we welcome Mark here as he comes and shares with us. Thanks, Mark. Good to see you.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for the introduction, Dave. I've known Dave for a number of years. I think I was a teenager when I first met Dave, so we go back a little ways. So it's nice to be in his place. Great to be with you. It's a wonderful opportunity to be here. As Dave said, I work in the Synod office. So you're a member of Presbytery, you're part of Generate Presbytery. And then you're also part of the Synod of South Australia. So I work for the Synod staff team. And particularly, I lead a team called Mission Resourcing. So when we start talking about what the church wants to do, what presbyteries want to do, then my job is to try and find ways of resourcing what they do so it becomes more effective, more grounded, and that it's all part of an overall plan for the church, rather than just, we're going to try this, we'll spread out that way. Well, starting a playgroup when there are no kids in the area, that sort of stuff. Let's not do that. But let's find something that actually is right for us in this time, in this place, with these people. So I've been asked to work with the leadership team and the congregation to develop this missional strategic plan. So far we've spent some time looking at the values that this congregation holds. We talked about valuing being a congregation of people who know one another by name. Some great teaching is something that's valued as well, of all aspects of God and faith. You value community, even if it is by using technology, your Zooms, all that sort of stuff. Who learned a whole lot more about that in the last 12 months? One or two of you? Yep, great. But face-to-face is better, isn't it? It's lovely to be here with people in this place. The people who come here feel tangible acceptance from each other. Empathy and care for one another, working and ministering together with authenticity, fostering our connectedness to God, and supportive encouragement, but also outward facing, looking out into the community, into our world. And so we also started talking about some great ideas of who this congregation wants to be into the future, who we want to become. And your leadership team has used words like a community together, changing people's lives, connecting with God deeply, focusing faith, edifying worship, knowing and growing in a love of God, ready to hear from God, and a unity of heart and mind, and again, outwardly focused. Hopefully, those are words that resonate with you too. So this morning, it's your turn. You get to be part of the process, and we'll have a couple of goes at doing that. So don't get too excited when you think I've finished the first time. I might be going on for a second time. But for now, let's pray that God will guide us as we go. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in this place. Lord, thank you for this congregation here that has honoured you in word and deed, continue to grow in their connection with you and their love for one another. Lord, thank you for showing that you are their disciples to the world by the way in which they love one another. Lord, we pray that as we gather this morning, that you will help us to hear your voice once again, that we will be able to discern with one another and with you how you are going to work within this congregation into the future. What do we need to become? What do they need to be? And where are you leading them to go? We pray for your wisdom in all of this. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's the best gift you've ever received? I wonder what it is. Can you think of it? Because if it's a really good gift, it probably springs straight to mind. For me, it was a coffee machine. Not just a little Bodum, not just a little one of the little pod machines or anything like that. It was a full-on one that grinds the coffee every time to make fresh, hot coffee. Even lattes, flat whites, a macchiato, things I don't even know what they are. It's great. We reviewed how many coffees we'd made just a few years ago, and it reached 4,000. It is a very well-loved and a very well-used gift. It's a wonderful thing. And of course, it came from my wife, so that's got to be good. I can tell you with great certainty that this congregation here at the Vines is full of great gifts. Our passage this morning tells us, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, gifts from God, is given for the common good. So no one has missed out. No one was away on the day that they were given out. This here is the body of Christ, gathered together in this congregation. So you are all very well gifted. Did you know that? Because you should know that. But when we look at passages like Ephesians 4 and a number of others like it, there are a number of gifts that are mentioned there. There's wisdom, there's teaching, there's faith, miraculous powers and a prophecy, and of course that one that nobody wants, the dreaded gift of administration. But what we often don't realise is that list was never supposed to be finite. It was never supposed to be complete with those gifts. There are a lot of other gifts, and sometimes we fail to see them as gifts. It might be your cultural background. It might be your profession or even your past profession, your background, and probably the most important, unique gift of all, your own story. Where God has led you over your lifetime, whether it's long or short, is part of how you are gifted. So what from your life is a gift that serves you or serves others? Mine came from an experience that happened with me in childhood. My father used to work for the tax office. It's okay. He still lives to tell the story. But he used to be one of the investigators, and he used to go around to places and find out what was going on with various people in their tax. And so he didn't make a lot of good friends in that time. But after a while, he came to realise that he was a bit frustrated. He'd sort of hit a ceiling, and he really couldn't go any further in his job. So he finished off his accounting studies, and which was really mum's achievement more than dad's at that stage. And he hung out his shingle and set himself up as a practicing accountant. No clients, no one to actually build up anything but this sign on his front door. And he had a partner with him as well. And so the partner came into the practice, and he already had quite a few clients, so there was a bit of a starting base there. And Dad started to join the Rotary Club, be part of the Lions Club, all those sort of things where you make connections and start building up your business. But all of a sudden, after about a year or so, that partner just left the practice, just got out of it. And he was left there with a lease that he couldn't pay and a small bunch of clients that he still wanted to service but didn't know how. At that point, I got kicked out of my bedroom and that became his office, which in the future was a great thing because it meant I was one of the few people at school that had a phone line in their own bedroom when I got back in again. But it built again. The practice started to grow gradually and gradually. And eventually, he moved out of my bedroom. And we managed to go and manage to set up an office and set up a really successful business. And he is still, he's retired now, but has been a very successful businessman. So he jumped from security and took a risk and saw God invest in that and God invest in him. And that's been a great gift to the church. So I too took a risk. I left secure jobs and I went to the ACT. And there I did not know anybody. The movement itself was, you know, I was working with Scripture Union, and the movement itself was also not very secure. It was actually not managing finances great at the time. And so I had to come in there and try and build momentum with the movement again, but also get the finances back on track. And it happened. God was gracious. Again, I took a risk and God honored it. So that's what I carry with me today. I'm a risk taker, but I do it in faith, and I do it in a way that helps us to move forward. Wonder what might be possible rather than sitting with what we are secure and know works. So I want you to have a bit of a discussion yourselves. I want you to find, just talk in a pair. I'll give you just a minute to think about this question. And then you'll have 2 to 3 minutes each to tell them a brief story about yourself that tells them something about you and your gifts that they may not know about you. So if I think that's up on the screen. There you go. What from your life is a gift that serves you or serves others? Okay, take a moment. If the other person hasn't had a chance to talk yet, it might be about that time. I'll bring you back. If you can just finish up those conversations, and I'm going to ask just a couple of you just to call out some of the different things that they learnt, perhaps something you didn't know about the gifts of the person you spoke to today. So what have you learnt about the other person, about their gifts?
I think there's not one thing that is more important than another.
Yep.
I think we've all got something to contribute, we've all got something to offer, and no one thing is bigger than something else.
Exactly right, yeah.
If we don't have everybody doing their stuff, the church kind of misses out.
Mm-hmm.
Any random misses out, so we've all got to kind of put in. So there's no gift more special than another.
That's right. So what we were saying over here is that there is no gift that's more special than another. It's all of them are necessary. If you go back to the basis of union for the uniting church, it says that every gift has a corresponding ministry. And it's that is all part of the fabric of who we are as a congregation here, or who you are as a congregation here at the Vines. So that's a very important point. Thanks for that. Is there a gift that you discovered that you didn't know about the other person? Did anybody find out something they didn't know?
I love football.
Like football? Excellent. That's very important. It's a special spiritual gift, football. You can see by all the spirit of the people who get there and we got really whipped up on the day. So. But being passionate is actually a gift. Some people, you need people who are really passionate, get whipped up and really love to be, love to spur other people on, encourage them and cheer them on as they keep going.
I think COVID produced a lot of gifts people didn't realise they had.
Oh, yes.
As in resilience.
Yep. Sorry, what was that? As in?
As resilience.
As resilience, yep. Absolutely. Resilience is a gift. It's actually not something that everybody has. And it's something that we grow in, I guess, as we get to know God better. But it's something that perhaps you can give that to another person as well. So that's great. Mm-hmm.
Go on a holiday?
Go on a holiday, that'd be a lovely gift, wouldn't it? Who'd like to be on a holiday right now? Going away somewhere? I don't think we realise how much that travelling is actually a gift.
I love
travelling. Yeah, that's good. That's great. All right. Well, considering those things, we'll keep on going. There is something very interesting about the gifts that God gives, which is, in reality, everything that we have is a gift of God. In our society, though, we're taught that when you give a gift, generally, you give it without expecting that it goes anywhere else. It is for the person. The recipient is the beneficiary of the gift. Am I right? Yep. If you doubt that, then just try receiving a gift and then quickly shuffling it to somebody else. Just see how the feeling goes with the person who gave you the gift. Won't be great. I think we call that re-gifting today, don't we? So, but the reality is, when God gives a gift, that's not the way it works. In fact, it is so much better if it's not. Think back to my coffee machine. I loved that gift. Sometimes probably a little bit too much. In fact, one of them broke once. And so we ran out and got another one straight away. How could we live without it? But as much as I really genuinely enjoy that gift, I also really enjoy using it for others. I love when friends or family come over or when we have meetings in our house and just turning it on, firing it up, and giving them a brilliant, flavoursome coffee, one better than I can ever make without the machine. It's even more like that with the gifts that God has given us. While God certainly wants you to benefit from your gifts and enjoy them, perhaps God's biggest priority for your gifts is to put them to good use in the mission of the church, in the mission of God through the church. And sometimes our greatest need is to understand what the mission of God is that requires those gifts to be used. So the second question I want you to consider this, and you might as well stay with those partners, you'll be doing a bit of chatting with them today, is why has God put a congregation with your particular gifts and stories in this community? Okay, God could have put a church anywhere. God could have put a congregation with a whole bunch of different people somewhere or in this place. But you are here. And if God is sovereign, that was meant to be the case. And so why would God have put this particular group of people in this place? Now, we have some paper and some pens, which David's going to hopefully run around and distribute to you. I want you to take a few minutes to talk about that together with your partner again. And just write down some of those thoughts. We will be collating them afterwards just to get a bit of a feel for what you think and what God might be saying through you. Let's see what we can discover together. Okay. Wonder where your thoughts went. Wonder whether there were things that you you discovered that you kind of surprised you. Again, I'm going to get some feedback, but this time I'm going to get David, because he knows you far better than I do, to run around and just get some thoughts from just a few people around the place that might help us to think about some of the, well, get a bit of a picture, I guess.
So if you'd like to put your hand up if you've got something you'd like to share.
We've been here over 20 years now. But I think the thing that always sticks in my mind that within a short radius of this church, there are many, as I said, housewives or families that are stuck and trapped in their own homes. Mm. We need to be we were put here to be a red light in the community, a red light for God, a place where people can recognise that this is a place they can come to and get help.
Yep, that's awesome. Thank you. That's wonderful. Sorry, there was somebody just down here.
Well, we believe that God wants us to grow where we're planted, which is a favourite saying of mine, and that is to use the gifts we've been given according to our own natures and personality and not be afraid to change and go in another direction. And secondly, also that gifts and joy are as much in the giving as the receiving, or even more. It's as fantastic to give as well as to receive.
Indeed. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, thank you. That's great. It's very helpful for us to think about. These gifts have been with us for some time. What do they mean today? What do they mean in this context we find ourselves today? As well as and we'll look at yesterday as well. Thank you.
We've just written down, historically we're here to reach out to the community, showing God's love and giving people a place to come when they're in need, which I think's already been pointed out. Mm-hmm. We need to share our experiences with others, and we need somewhere and opportunities to communicate answers to prayer. We've had lots of wonderful answers to prayer, but to communicate that to others is not always an easy thing, because we need a platform for that. Mm-hmm. And our gifts from here are reflected in our outreach, and has been such as the creative connection, food parcels, mm-hmm. barbecues, you know, all the different activities that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wonderful. Thank you. That's excellent. Thanks for that. We're going to break for some intercessory prayer. Now, if I was at my own church, I would have told this story this morning, but I'm going to tell you instead because you happen to be my church today. My mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer back in, I say that with great joy, don't I? My mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer back in July last year and has been undergoing treatment since that time, from August through till February, I think it was, late February. Pancreatic cancer, you would be probably aware, is not usually the happiest outcome for a person. The prognosis is not good. It's a very small survival rate. But this week she was told that after all the treatment, she had a scan and there is no sign of that cancer. So praise God for that.
Thanks. Thanks, Mark. That's given us a bit to think about, hasn't it? And now we're going to pray for others, which also is one thing that the Lord wants us to do. So let us pray. Please join me. Loving Heavenly Father, our Creator and Redeemer through Jesus Christ our Lord, we come before you blessed by your forgiveness and grace through the cross, and ask how we, your people, can share the love of Christ to the world. Sometimes, Lord, the world is heavy on our hearts with continued violence throughout the world and the coronavirus continuing to leave thousands grieving the loss of loved ones, whilst others, although recovered, are able to return to full-time work. Lord, we pray for a way forward that will end this cycle. We pray for the safety of the vaccine and are saddened by the death this weekend, and they believe it to be because of the COVID. Lord, we ask your wisdom and discernment for our medical staff. Pray that going forward, we can find a safe road recovery. We pray also for the British Empire as they grieve Prince Philip's passing. Pour out your blessings over them, bringing grace and peace. May the Queen, your servant, who has dedicated her life to serving you and her people, be blessed and cared for in the days ahead. We continue to pray for our nation as we recover from the 2020 pandemic. We pray that those still unemployed or underemployed, and give thanks for those who support them in their need. And we continue to see lives lost on the road due to the reckless behaviour of a few. How, Lord, can we help young people to find a new path that will give them a desire to honour others and build respect into their own lives? And we pray for safe travel on the roads as many families travel during the school holidays, especially next weekend when many are homeward bound. And Lord, each of us knows of a person or persons who need the touch of your love today. We name them silently before you now and ask for blessings and peace. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, the people of the Vines Church. Help us to open our hearts and minds to understand your will for us as a congregation. How, Lord, can we share the love that you have richly blessed us with through forgiveness and grace? Grant us understanding of your will for us, where and how we can be on mission in our local community, sharing the gospel. Lead us and guide us so that the light of your love will shine around about us. And Lord, as we continue to share with Mark, I pray that you'll give discernment and wisdom to each one of us as to the call on our lives and on us as a community of faith. It's in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for those prayers. Well, we've now spent some time looking at our gifts. All those wonderful things that you are and that God has planted you here with your gifts to be at work. Next, I want us to look at how all of you in this congregation, with the gifts that you have, are here for a purpose, and you're going to help the leadership team work out what that is. At the end of the day, that is what mission planning is. It's a matter of trying to work out what we're here for. What is our purpose in this place at this time? We go back to the words of our passage for this morning. This purpose is to build one another up in love, strengthening one another, holding together in the work of God. And that love is not restricted to people within the church, although that is where it needs to start. It is to go to those who are yet to become part of the church, making disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that familiar? Matthew 28:19. We often think that the church's job is to look after those who are part of it. And that's true, but it's not its only purpose. It is for the world. Even from back in Genesis 12, God's people were to be a people through whom God would bless the world and open a door for it to come in. Israel, the early church, and the church today were always created by God to do his work, something he is more passionate than anything else, and to which he has always worked out his plans in order to transform our world. Paul Dearborn, I think, describes it this way. He describes it very, very well. And he said it in this way. It is not the church of God which has a mission in the world. It is the God of mission who has a church in the world. Does that make sense? I'll read it again. Got it up there on the screen. It is not the church of God which has a mission in the world. It is the God of mission who has a church in the world. From the beginning of time, God has been at work amongst his creation. He has been part of it. He's seen it fall, and he's been ongoingly working towards reconciliation of all things in Jesus. And he continues that work today. And he chooses to do it through his church, which is amazing, isn't it? He takes us. Sometimes we feel pretty frail, pretty fragile, pretty broken, but he chooses to do it through us. What a privilege that is. So as we consider the purpose of this congregation for the future, the question we need to ask is, what are we here to do? Or better, what has God, in all his knowledge and his power and his love, put this congregation here to do? And to help us be part of that conversation with the leadership team, I again want to ask you a couple of questions for you to discuss in pairs. And the first one is, you'll see it on the screen, what has been your best experience of something that this congregation has done in the past? Something you have personally experienced perhaps, or seen the congregation do, or something that the congregation has experienced. And I want that from two perspectives. One, for what the congregation has done for those within the congregation. So there might be things like discipleship, might be pastoral care programs, preaching, worship, anything like that. But also the second one is for what the congregation has done for those beyond its walls. We are to be an outward-facing church, but also strengthened from the inside. So looking at things such as outreach, service, evangelism, those sort of things that are transformative work that are outside the church as well. So I'm going to give you a bit longer for that. I want love for each one of you to give an answer for each one of those. So I'm giving you about 10 minutes this time, or make it 7 or 8, just to make sure we finish within a reasonable time. So let's spend some time talking about those two, that question from those two aspects. Make sure you write it down. I'll get you to finish up there. I'm not going to ask you for feedback at the moment, just because I'm sure you're just busting to get out to morning tea. So I will, just allow me to finish, and I'll ask you to do one more thing. Of course, while the past might be fantastic, it's not a predictor for the future. It could be a springboard, though. And I guess that's why we wanted to talk about those things today, to see what that might ask us to springboard from, to invest into for the future. As you would know, the leadership team's been reflecting on this, trying to discern what God has in store for the future and how the congregation can best be part of that. But the Spirit doesn't just speak to the people on the leadership team. Have you noticed that? Spirit actually speaks to everybody, anybody who actually has a relationship with Jesus. So, for an example, in my own church, there was a lady called Margot. Margot is, I think she's in her late 70s now. And we did a similar exercise at Glenunga a few years back, and just asked, what is God stirring you up for the future? What is God putting on your heart right now that might actually see us move forward in mission in the future? And Margot had said, probably from the last 20 years, I've had on my heart that we should start a craft group. Hasn't been a craft group here for years, but it used to be a really good time of connecting with people, just spending time doing things with your fingers, which loosens up the brain to talk about things that are on your heart. And it was about 3 years ago. They actually started that craft group. So far, 5 people have come to Jesus through that craft group. It's something we could never have expected, but something that God clearly had on his heart and wanted to give to Margot. So I want you, in this final section, to just take a couple of minutes now to consider just 1, 2, no more than 3 ways in your prayer that together you feel God would want this congregation, your faith community, to move forward into the next few years. So it doesn't have to be a craft group. It could be anything you like. So these are things that we need to discern together. So take a moment now, write down your 1, 2, or 3 ideas between the two of you, and we'll see where we go. Then we'll finish up. Okay, I'm going to stop us now. I hope that's been a fruitful process for you. I hope it's been something that stirred up some ideas. And at the end of the day, they need to be the ideas that God plants in us. Ultimately, God is already at work among us, at work by his Spirit. And our job is to see what God is doing and be part of it, not just here, but in the wider world. It's kind of, I often talk about it as chasing the wind, not in a bad way, in a futile way, but the wind of the Spirit is moving. Our job is to try and work out how we move in sync with where the Spirit is going. God is going to do it, but by his grace, as I said before, he invites us into the privilege of being part of his work that will last for eternity. And he can do it. He is big, he is powerful, he is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible for God. And so the question will be, could you invest in anything more worthwhile with your gifts, with the things you've learned from the past, from your own past, from the congregation's past, to take that into be a springboard into your future? So let's pray that God's plans will be ours as we continue to work together to discern this congregation's direction. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that in all things, you are already at work. From the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, your knowledge of all that there is and all that there would be was already perfect. It was already complete. And yet you continue to invite us to be part of that with you. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray that today you would be stirring up our hearts. May this not be the beginning, be the end of the process. But may this be the beginning, that we may pursue that together as a congregation directed by you and also nourished and fed by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So thank you, Mark, Graham. And so your question is, what do we do with this information? So on the back of your grapevine is an email address. So Colleen, send her an email with your insights, and then we'll be able to share that through the leadership team as well, and hopefully we'll generate a bit of an understanding of some of the good ideas you've picked up today. So we don't want to lose this energy, we don't want to lose your bits of paper. Stick them in an email, send it, please. Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you, Mark. I'm pretty sure that with the discussions we've had today and the wide variety of gifts that we've discovered everybody has got, and the way God just gives them freely, that we can honestly believe that our God is an awesome God. Let's stand and sing our last song for the day. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. We reign from heaven above in glory.
piece to serve the Lord. And for those online, if you'd like to send me an email or Colleen, Poppy, P-O-P-P-Y, at adam.com.au. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.